Good afternoon. Welcome to the kickoff sessions at Build. Thank you very much for attending. Thank you for coming back promptly after lunch and finding your way to this location buried inside of this behemoth. I'm Rob Lefferts. I'm the General Manager for Office Extensibility. Okay, and my team is dedicated to making sure that developers, whether they're IT developers inside of corporate IT or independent ISVs, can build great solutions working with Office and Office 365.
My name is Jeremy Thake. I'm a technical product manager in the Office 365 marketing team. We kind of look after dev.office.com and getting all the training out there that you guys have been looking at and listening to us about our podcasts and kind of helping to run a lot of. So you'll see us all in the booth for the rest of the week. Bonus points for people buying the expo hall from getting to this room, so thank you very much. Kind of hand out as well. Yeah.
Don't worry, there's more. Okay. Let's see. Hopefully this gets some of the audio worked out. We're here to talk about developing on top of Office and Office 365. And as we drill into that, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about why that matters. Office 365 is on a phenomenal growth curve. I actually came from the SharePoint team and went through that whole adventure before moving to Office 365 all up. That was a rocket ship. This experience is amazing. So over a billion people on the planet use Office. Office 365 has a commercial cloud revenue that grew 147%. The annualized run rate of our revenue exceeds $4.4 billion. And what that all translates for you is momentum, is a target audience, is a set of users that you can impact and bring your solutions to life inside of the work that they do. We want to deliver that to you, and here today we'll talk about how. For those of you who got a chance to see Build last week, quick show of hands. Anybody at Build watched it live? A couple folks, okay. Satya talked at length about the opportunity inside of Office and why he believes it is a really valuable experience for developers in terms of the users you can get access to, in terms of the data and capabilities that you can connect to. I wanted to take a second and be open about why we care. And the reason that we care is we want people using Office. We want people being productive. We want people connecting to O365 in the cloud. We know and firmly believe that in order to really make that happen, it requires developers, it requires the ecosystem, it requires all the capabilities that you bring to bear to making solutions that matter for your users. Let's just chat a little bit about how we think about the size of that opportunity as Office 365 is growing. I mentioned 1.2 billion users of Office, and it turns out that those are not just the traditional Windows 32 users. Those are also largely about that mobile Office experience that we have launched and is getting huge attraction. Over 100 million people have downloaded to use that on iOS or Android. People spend time in Office, 2 to 3 hours a day, and in the process, they generate a massive amount of data and information that will let you take advantage of. So, over 4 trillion emails have been sent with Office 365. Every month, 850 million meetings are created, which if you run it out is something like 28.3 million meetings a day, even assuming that people are working straight through the weekend. And the amount of storage, documents, and data, there's over 60 billion attachments in Exchange. There's 470 petabytes of data spread across our commercial and consumer properties, and all of that means opportunity for you as developers, again, for ISVs or for corporate IT.
And before we kind of talk about the vision of where we're going with Office 365, we want to talk a little bit about the journey of where we've come from. From a PC era, you know, when we introduced Outlook, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, as developers, you would have been working with things like VBA script to kind of extend our user interface. you'd have been introduced to kind of COM add-ins and macros, where you'd have been doing a lot of powerful things with the development story around our products. And obviously with our server-side products like SharePoint and Exchange, with the EWS APIs and the full trust code server-side object model and the ASMX services and all those other goodness there, what we're saying here is that those will continue to work as we ship those new clients and ship those new server products, which you'll see a lot about this week. But in our journey moving forward, you'll hear us talk about SharePoint add-ins and Office add-ins. Now, we have decided to make a rename based on feedback and a lot of research around the apps for SharePoint and apps for Office nomenclature. One of the big reasons for that is that obviously we had the Word app on the iPad and we have the Word app on the Android, and we were getting a lot of feedback around apps within apps. And so we decided to move back to the add-ins terminology. So when you hear us talk about Office add-ins or Outlook add-ins or SharePoint add-ins now, that's just the same as what we did with apps for SharePoint and apps for Office. So with that, Rob, maybe you just want to disclose a little bit about our vision there.
Yeah, thanks. So let's talk about what it means to reinvent the Office platform for cloud and mobile. And it's really about two primary things. As I mentioned at the beginning, there's a huge community of users that live inside Office products and are productive inside of Office products. And we effectively would like to help you as developers advertise your solutions to those users and help draw them from their work inside of Office to dealing with the capabilities that you provide. The magic of this is that we can make it possible inside the flow of how they're getting work done in Office. The second key thing is about data. And I threw some numbers out earlier about the huge amount of data we're putting together in Office 365. We want to make that fully open and available to you through a set of RESTful cloud-enabled APIs. And so what the graphic here shows is we're enabling add-ins that live in all of the Office applications and live across all of the platforms that Office runs on. That is our vision. And we're enabling data through RESTful APIs that you can get to from everywhere and anywhere that you can code to on purely standalone mobile apps, or that you can code to in your own services with the own platform stack that you prefer. So with that, let's delve right in and talk about add-ins. We shipped add-ins first in 2013. This is the apps model that Jeremy mentioned, and we're carrying it forward. One of the beautiful things about cloud, mobile, modern development is that we actually get a lot of telemetry and data about how are people using this, and is it really getting the traction that we want to see? And the good news is that it is. There are 3 million users who in March actually installed and used an add-in inside of Office. And that number will only get bigger as more and more capabilities and more add-ins show up. One of the things that we really look towards is the shape of the curve. Are we seeing the right kind of adoption to help us know that this is a model that will get traction and be useful for end users? And what we see there, 114% growth in 6 months. So we're thinking about it doubling every 6 months, which is right where we'd like to see this kind of adoption. We're looking at ways that we can enhance the experience, make it more discoverable, make it more natural for users to think about using this. But we really want to drive experiences and use that to drive usage of the APIs on the back end, as we show here with some of these numbers. So let's dive right in and take a look at a demo.
Sure. So we had some ISVs we've been working with in our preview program where we show all the new features and the richness of what we're adding into the Office experience that can be extended. One of those vendors was do.com. They've done a lot of work with us around the Azure AD authentication and talking to our Exchange APIs, which are actually in the product now if you go and sign in to do.com and log in with your Office 365 account. But Richard DeZariga is part of the DX ecosystem internally in Microsoft Corp. He's actually built out some prototypes here on top of the Office 2016 preview. Since they actually rolled out the integration with the sign-in with Office 365, they've actually realized that they're getting about 25% of new users are coming from that Office 365 ecosystem that we're promoting through that store scenario. So it's really exciting to see our ISVs benefit. Now, what we have here on the screen is Office 2016 preview, which is now available publicly for you guys to download. One of the biggest bits of feedback we got, especially from people that have been building add-ins in COM or maybe with VBA script, was the ability to extend that main window with Inside Outlook. You see, you might notice now that in the top right corner here, we actually have the store, but we also have this new ability to add ribbon buttons directly into this. And we're calling these adding commands. This is the first example of adding a command directly into the Office experience. And if I launch that there, what that's going to do is produce me a task pane directly inside of my Outlook experience. Again, something we heard very commonly was a scenario you wanted to do. Now, this is using just HTML running within that iframe of that task pane, and it's using JavaScript's office.js.api libraries to pull through and get context of the email that I've got selected here. Now, do.com in this scenario is kicking off a meeting based on the email that I've selected, and I can come in here and use the do.com experience to go through and add some speakers there, and I'm going to add that we've got Jeremy on stage, and then we have Rob Lefferts on stage, and I can add, flag here that I'm going to do some follow-ups, and I'm going to actually mark that as completed when I'm done there. Now, one of the benefits of the Office add-ins experience is that I'm not alt-tabbing between my two different windows. I'm not jumping off to do.com in a browser and then coming back to Outlook. And you'll see a lot of the Office add-in experience is all about simplifying and letting the users sit within the experience that they're used to and they're living in all day long inside that command. And you'll see from another experience here that if I select a new email up the top here from CJ and launch the do.com experience, it hasn't registered this meeting directly inside of my do.com account. So what you'll see here is that it's pulled the title of the email, it's grabbed the body of the email, it's suggesting a date and time of when this meeting should be started, and I can kind of add a location there. But the other integration that we've added down the bottom here is the ability to kind of pull through a bunch of things, such as if there was an attachment in the email, I would actually be able to come in here and grab the attachments from that email and attach that to that meeting, which is stored within that do.com user interface. So some great excitement there around this new ability to have those adding commands directly inside of Outlook. And what you'll see is that this will be across all of our different products and clients across all of the platforms like we talked about in that vision of being able to map that not just inside the Outlook desktop version, but also across kind of on the Mac or on the iPad or the Android and the other devices we'll target like Windows 10 in the future.
Awesome. Actually, I think I can stay right here for a second. Let's take a look at exactly how we would make that possible. So here we're in Excel, and again, we've got that notion of I'd like to integrate a solution directly into the flow of how users are doing work. And so you saw I just added the SAP add-in. This is actually something that we worked with SAP to prototype. And what it's doing is it's talking to an on-prem SAP installation using SAP Gateway for Microsoft. And so again, just like Jeremy was describing, I can live in Excel, get my data from SAP, and work with it immediately. But one of the great things that I can do in addition, Satya talked a bunch about the mobility of the experience. Well, let's imagine for a moment that I actually am mobile and want to do exactly the same thing. So here I am on my iPad, using Excel for the iPad. I've got exactly the same add-in loaded here in my Excel experience. The reason that this works is because the add-in is effectively HTML5 and JavaScript coming from the service that you, the developer, provide, talking to the document contents through office.js. And so that'll make it super easy for me to select the products, click the Connect button, and it will go up to SAP and pull back data from live data from my SAP installation, make it easy for me to work with directly here inside of Excel. I can update values. So let's change this to be 2200, hit return. And now, of course, I would want to be able to update that back into SAP, which is a great end-to-end scenario. But because of the rich JavaScript object model that we've got, we've built this function called compare, just to see what it was I did before I saved my information back. And we see that it highlighted the row that I changed, it went ahead and marked the cell green, and it actually pulled out a summary here inside of the task pane to show me exactly what values were changed and what they were changed to. I can decide I love it, and I can go ahead and push the update button, and then the information live in SAP will be brought up to date. And that's what we mean by end-to-end flow and a mobile experience that travels with me across all the endpoints that I work on. Let's take a look at some more of these. So let's switch now over to a MacBook. And here we are running the preview for Outlook for Mac. and it has add-ins built into it as well. And so what we're showing here is an add-in for Salesforce that makes it very easy for me to get context from a mail message about who's on the mail, what companies are they from, how does that relate to the accounts and opportunities that live inside of Salesforce. And so I can take action directly from within this UI. And again, I don't have to pop out of Outlook to get more work done. It's a great win for the user, it's a win for us, and it's a win for Salesforce because people are using all these products more and seeing more value out of them.
Right, and one of the things that we've also worked on is to try and make this easier for you guys as developers to get started here. Traditionally, we've pushed the Visual Studio experience, which is always going to give you the richest, the best experience of being able to create those apps. But we also understand there are a bunch of web developers here that may not have access to that Visual Studio, and we've obviously made this as a very open platform to build against. Essentially, what we've done is we've improved what we had released in 2013, which was that Napper experience inside of the browser. And one of the things we've announced at Build last week was the ability now that it's not tied to a SharePoint site collection to be able to launch Napper. So you can go to nappercloudapp.com now and log in with your Microsoft account, so your Outlook.com account, and start creating add-ins for Office directly within the browser. Now, I've got a base project here that I've built together, and the only bits I've added is some quick JavaScript commands here to actually reference the jQuery UI. I've added a little bit of div tags here to have buildings script directly into my HTML. And then in my JavaScript on the back, you'll see that it's very familiar to most of the JavaScript that you guys would be aware of. So if I scroll down here, all I'm doing here is I'm using a REST call to go and grab a list of buildings that are hosted in Azure, and it's going to return a JSON list of buildings for me. And then when the app launches in the task pane, when I'm composing a mail or an appointment, I'm grabbing those buildings, and I'm actually going to iterate through those buildings and build out some HTML. Now, the jQuery UI is going to make it look a lot nicer and prettier and part of that experience within Outlook. But to kind of add to that scenario, we wanted to have a button that when you click insert will take that data that's shown in the task pane, and just very simply using the Office.js structure, I can go and get that mail item that I've got open as a compose or an appointment item, and I'm going to build the body of the HTML in a tag as a string, and then I'm just going to set that body directly just using item.body.setSelectedDataAsync, and that will push that HTML that I've built out to inject that into the environment. Then the nice thing here is that directly from Napper, if I just zoom out here, I can actually run that demo up, and that's going to go and deploy that directly into my environment. Now, I have that already running here. If I go over to new and launch my apps, you'll see I have my Jeremy's first app here. And so that's going to go away, run that task pane. It's going to execute that HTML that I've put together. And then as I select each building, you'll notice that I've got this ability to click insert. And that's going to go and inject into the body of my email that scenario. Now, what's nice as well is if I just discard this quickly, when I go over to my calendar, because I created this Office add-in not just for mail, but also for my appointments within my event, I'd have the same scenario. So I can come in here, launch my app, I can select my building, and this time, as well as actually adding to the body my appointment, the map, and the other rich HTML that I've kind of put together in a string, it's also gone in and targeted the location that I wanted to add directly into the appointment location of that metadata. And that's easily done in the Office.js. If I just close that here, you'll see there in the location aspect, I've got item.location, and I'm just setting that just with a simple string. So what I'm trying to highlight here is that as a standard web developer, it's extremely easy to leverage the Office.js framework to go away and build Office add-ins directly from this Napper experience in the web browser, even on a Mac inside Firefox here, for example. So there's a lot of power of adding these add-ins, and I find myself building little add-ins to help me with my day-to-day work. This one, in actual fact, just as an example here, is if you go to dev.office.com and you go to the code samples, we've actually shipped that sample, so you can go and download it and get that running in there, and it's just called the Microsoft Buildings. And we've got plenty of other samples that we ship across many different platforms, whether it's Angular or Xamarin, PHP, and Ruby as well, and we continue to add those as we do demos at these conferences so that you guys can go and grab these and have a look how we've constructed these in the real world.
Awesome. And I think we'll show you a bunch of those later on. Hey, time for a T-shirt. Richard, could you lob that back over here? Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So another one we wanted to show was SAP, and we've worked with them closely on a variety of different add-ins. And this add-in here was something that they actually just gave to us in preview on Friday, and we've got it running here in Outlook. Now, this is their environment, and much like many business systems, you'll see emails for different things you've got to go and approve. And fortunately, I'm not a manager, so I don't have to go through and approve my team's leave. And it can get quite strenuous in terms of having to launch these emails and then click on hyperlinks to then go and log into SAP and then go and approve those things directly inside the SAP interface. So one of the things they've done is, inside of Outlook, and obviously we're demoing here in OWA, is they now have the ability directly in line to go and approve inside of OWA without having to jump into that SAP experience. And one of the nice things they've also added here, and I would be a mean manager and reject that one, is that down the bottom you can see the view pending approvals. Now often, as a a power user, you might delete these emails and accidentally delete one of those workflows and then not be sure which ones you've accepted and which ones you haven't. So in this, as well as having the context of the mail for that one approval that you've been sent to do, by doing the view approvals, it then shows you all of the other approvals as a manager that you have to go through and set within OWA. So again, it's a lot of the pain points they were hearing from their users of having to keep jumping and understanding which ones they've done in their mail and which ones they haven't. This allows them, through this add-in, not to leave this experience and actually be able to do those approvals directly from within that OWA experience, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then one last one I wanted to show, if I jump over to Chrome now in my OWA, was we've done a lot of work with understanding that sometimes apps in the taskbar there, the app bar, aren't the most efficient way to launch like an iframe inside it. So in this scenario here, I've been looking at purchasing properties and people keep sending me addresses. And it's always this kind of case you have to copy and paste the address, jump into a new browser, go to Bing Maps and paste it in. Outlook has actually realized that that's an address. And it's given me a dot, dot, dot hyperlink underneath that when I launch that, it's going to launch that Bing Maps add-in for me and show that address directly in context of my OWA. Again, saving that notion of having to copy and paste from inside OWA and jump context to another browser window and load up Bing Maps and paste that in, I don't have to leave that experience. Now, this could be done for a lot of things. There's often invoices that you get sent, and you want to be able to launch more information about the invoice that isn't in the email. Or typically, the invoice might be at a different stage, and you might not open the email for a few days, which means that information inside the email is out of date. Having an add-in that when you click on the invoice number and it reaches and displays that information from real time inside that invoice system means that you're always up to date with the information and you don't kind of make mistakes by looking at out of date email information. So there's a lot of power in kind of going through these add-ins and showing that going like that.
Yeah, and just to underscore one of the things there, you can look for any regular expression to hit off that context. And so there's another kind of add-in that helps you make emails, and it's very easy to help inject the regular expression that you're going to look for later to give people that contextual hit highlighting. But let's talk about another thing that frequently happens. Outlook is not just about email, it's also about appointments. And one of the most important things about appointments is making sure that you get to them on time. Like with this lunch meeting I apparently have with Satya, which oddly I'm a little bit late for already, but...
That could be career limiting, Rob.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
We've built the same add-in model into the appointments inside of Outlook to help whatever it is you imagine users need to get done. In this case, we've partnered with Uber to imagine how we would get people to their appointments on time. And what this does is it sets up an Uber ride reminder ahead of time. I don't have to worry about it later. I don't have to think about it when I'm trying to get ready to go. I think about it now when I'm scheduling my appointment. I say how far beforehand I'd like the Uber ride reminder to show up. And then in the flow of my work, my phone will buzz, notification will come up, says slide to ride, and I can just connect directly, and I'll be off and running. The beautiful thing is about the flow of information. So this is apparently scheduled at the mansion. That was nice. What'll happen is that the Uber ride reminder will know where I need to be, because that's what I said in the appointment, and the driver will automatically have that address put into place. I, as the user, just keep doing my work and going forward. So we showed a lot here about all the ways that people can light up the office experience. And in particular, I like to think of it as all the ways that the office experience can bring more users to your services and solutions. There is a huge amount of surface area in Office. And what we're trying to show here is just to be very clean and transparent with you guys about what's there today that you should start building immediately and what's coming next. The vision is 100% clear. We need these add-ins to work and run everywhere that Office users work, which, as we talked about in the keynote, means everywhere. And this is our roadmap of what that will look like. Already in desktop Win32, you can build add-ins across the suite. We are pretty much covered in terms of capabilities in the online versions of those applications. So Excel, Word, Outlook, PowerPoint online all support the same add-in experience we were showing you today. And we just announced and are releasing support for iPad coming out. That will be rolling thunder through the summer, and we will move from there directly onto iPhone. The next ones are pretty clear. Mac, Android, Universal Windows apps, those are absolutely on the roadmap, but they will be a little bit further out. Our strategy is to get things done as fast as we possibly can so that you can take advantage of it for your users.
So we wanted to move on here and talk a little bit about SharePoint add-ins. We've kind of covered the Office add-in space, but there's a lot that we can see around the SharePoint add-in space. And maybe, Rob, you just want to kind of talk a little bit about the momentum there that we've been seeing in the service.
Yeah, actually, again, it's really great to be able to have a clear view of how is this stuff getting used, what can we do to improve it, and how can we help you more. And what we see in SharePoint add-ins is actually a very similar shape of curve. Of course, Office Client has a huge user population, and we saw that in the numbers. But SharePoint add-ins themselves are already closing in on 1 million monthly users in March, which is a big number. It's up 86% in 6 months, so close to that doubling in 6 months rate. And we believe that this is a great way not only for users of Office 365 to get experiences, but also for a wide range of people to get a huge new capabilities added into SharePoint. So with that.
Yeah, so one of the big things that we heard loud and clear was that when you were a SharePoint developer in the past, you'd have been using full trust code, you'd been building things that would have been deployed directly to SharePoint server, which wouldn't work in the Office 365 service because we don't give you access to that file system. So we really want you to build those extensions to the SharePoint user interface and to that aspect using those SharePoint add-ins. And so one of the initiatives we put together with Steve Walker and Vesa Juvenen and Bert Janssen and Frank Morasco and a bunch of guys within Microsoft, plus some amazing guys in the community that have been contributing via GitHub, is this Developer Patterns and Practices initiative. Now, I know a lot of you in the room are using this already, and one of the benefits here is that we realized that there were certain things that you just couldn't do within the SharePoint add-in model that you could have done inside the full trust code model. And we've worked very, very closely with engineering to come up with these patterns to try and mimic exactly what you would have done with something inside the full trust code model with how you can do those things in the SharePoint add-in model. And some of the things that have been coming out of that is where we've realized that maybe there's not some CSOM APIs that are available in the service that we know were available in the SharePoint server-side object model code. So part of this initiative and the community working with us on, well, our customers can't move this particular customization because of X, Y, Z, we've actually worked very closely with SharePoint engineering teams to release these things via CUs and via the service updates. And so I just want to say a big thank you to everyone that's helped with those patterns and practices. There's a bunch of sessions this week. There is one intro session, if you've not heard about this before, that Vesa will be doing tomorrow at 5 p.m. I'd highly recommend going to that session and seeing all the good work they're doing around there, around site provisioning and branding and being able to remotely call in and provision things into particular site collections, as well as being able to embed JavaScript directly into pages to really customize that user experience for SharePoint. So there's a lot of great work going through there. Now, as an example of that, we've actually been working with Microsoft Legal internally to build out some examples of using the SharePoint add-in model to extend and leverage all that great power with inside SharePoint. Now, this is the Matter Center that you may have heard about before. And the idea is the legal teams were getting really confused about where they could store their documents for particular matters and grouping together workflow and having content types and storing that metadata, that rich metadata against those documents, just so that they're compliant for each matter they have within their system. So you'll see here that there's a dashboard here that lists all those matters, and they're using some nice charting capability of Power BI to kind of report on all those matters and all the files that are stored, and getting together here and even to the point of showing some of the geolocation of where these matters are installed internally within the system. They've been doing some really cool work directly inside of Outlook so that when you send an attachment to someone about a particular matter from a particular person, it'll automatically suggest that maybe you want to save this particular attachment to the matter that the email is referencing there too. And then the nice bit here is that I jump into each of those sites. My Wi-Fi dropped. When I jump into some of these sites, okay, Demo failed.
Live
one.
Demo.
Woohoo! You'll be able to see that each one of those is an individual site collection where they're storing lists and libraries inside there with those documents, with the content types and the workflow deployed. And so as they add additional matters, they're just spinning up new site collections using that remote provisioning API calling to do that and have that encapsulated from a compliance perspective so that when it's time to retire that matter, they retire that entire site collection rather than kind of bundling everything to do with matters into one giant site collection. So again, this is some good learnings here we're having with the legal teams inside Microsoft, and we're going to be doing a lot in the future here to help to show how we're doing these things via kind of documentation inside the patents and practices stuff, as well as in MSDN. And maybe you want to disclose a little bit more about that as well, Rob.
Yeah, I want to give a little bit of context about how people should think about the Matter Center, because we're very proud of it. We're very pleased with it. We use it internally. But don't take this to mean that I hear Microsoft is releasing an industry vertical legal solution to solve the problem for everybody's legal departments. That's not what this is about at all. It's actually back to that notion of really helping to demonstrate the power of the model and to help developers in the legal think about what we can do, what kinds of scenarios we can enable, and working with them to make sure that those opportunities light up like that. We will be looking to do this in more and more verticals as we go along, because we think it's a great way to really make it concrete for people about what is possible. So we've talked a bunch about this notion of you've got a service. And in fact, one way to think about everything that we're talking about today is to say your solution is in the middle. And Office, whether it's Office 365 Web UI or Office Mobile or Office traditional Win32, becomes a set of endpoints that you can light up with your service. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about one of the most concrete ways that you can do this, which is if you've got a website already and you would like to light it up for Office 365, what's the most straightforward thing to go ahead and do? And the answer is you can go ahead and make it an O365 web app. All you have to do is plug into Azure Active Directory, and that will immediately give you a set of real and concrete benefits. You can enable single sign-on so that your users aren't going to have to struggle with, oh, I've got to log in with a different auth, and maybe it's the same username but different password on that service over there. You show up inside of the app launcher, and we'll actually demonstrate this in a minute, but think of it as, again, as demonstrating a way to advertise this solution for your users. And as a matter of course, it will naturally make it super easy for you to turn around and call Office 365 APIs so that you can directly get to our data and capabilities. So, and the theme here is really let's make it easy for people to distribute applications. One of the ways that we do that is through the store. And so today we're going to demonstrate actually how we can make it very easy for people to go and acquire these new web apps. In addition, we're providing a notion of preview so that you can just release your apps or display it to just a targeted set of users who might be in a beta. And then finally, like with a lot of the things that we're talking about today, we're building a best practices preview or sample that you can go take a look at that demonstrates all the right ways we think you should take advantage of the store for integration and distribution. So with that, let's take a look at a demo of what the app launcher looks like.
So this app launcher here is an environment where I've got a bunch of ISVs already set up, because I've actually gone into their different accounts and signed into their services with my Office 365 login. So you can see here that we have those ISVs already that I've kind of, you know, you'll notice now when you click sign in a lot of these big names that you'll actually be able to sign in directly there. And when that happens, when you consent that app to have permissions maybe to your calendar or maybe to your files inside OneDrive for Business, you'll actually be able to see that and launch that directly from your My Apps page. One of the nice features here is I can actually go through and pin and unpin my app tiles directly to my app launcher. What that means is that when I'm in my experience inside Office 365, my web browser, I can actually get at all those apps directly next to my kind of my first-party apps that you would have seen by default as a user. And as an enterprise, you can start controlling what individual users and what groups of users can see when they launch this stuff. So if I'm in Outlook Online or I'm in Word Online and I launch that app launcher, you'll be able to have your first-party experience for your app to launch directly from there. So it's a great discoverability tool for ISVs, but also for enterprise devs to have those things. And an example of that you'll notice here is that Matter Center. So as well as having a SharePoint add-in where we can create those site collections and provision all those content types and those workflows and the structure of the lists and libraries, they also have that dashboard that can be launched directly from that app launcher. So users don't have to remember URLs or they've not got 1,000 bookmarks in their browser. No matter where they log into login.microsoftonline.com or portal.office.com, when they get to that My Apps page, they can leap to all of their enterprise applications or any of the SaaS applications that they've signed and consented to. Now, as an example of this discoverability, you would now notice that when you go into this page in the service, that we have this store button here. And when I launch the store, as well as now serving up store add-ins that come from Office and from SharePoint, you will notice now that we have add-ins directly from web applications. So we've worked very closely with a bunch of ISVs to get this started. So you can see here that we have Smartsheets and DocuSign and the Mail Responder directly inside that store ecosystem. So again, this is just another way as an ISV to build an add-in that is available not just as inside SharePoint or Office, but can also appear in that My Apps page and be pinned to that app launcher. And we see that as a huge benefit for you guys that already have SaaS applications where if you just integrate with our Office 365 login, you can immediately be part of this and gain all that benefit of our discoverability as we push this store across all of our markets and our customers. So that's one area that we're seeing a lot of benefit there from that aspect.
Great. We've talked a bunch about add-ins and the experience you can have there and how you can distribute your applications through the store. Let's actually switch over a little bit to think about UX integration the other way around. So now, instead of inserting your experience into Office, we're going to think about how you can take Office experiences and insert them into your application.
So we're going to go back to that do.com demo. And what I'm actually going to show is something that we hear a lot about, which is Skype is a really powerful platform for you to be able to build and embed directly into your applications. There's a lot of different scenarios we hear from healthcare through to finance where people want to have that Skype communication there. And you would have noticed if you're astute there that we have the Skype button as part of that add-in with inside the Outlook experience. And when I click on that button here, what I'm actually going to see is that when I launch that, is that I'm going to have a Skype add-in here, which on the right-hand side has got my HTML for that do.com experience as well. So for instance, if I go in here and I type in speakers, I can start adding my meeting notes around, you know, the speakers that I have here. And you'll notice that my Skype conversation is still happening in context. So this, again, allows me to, side by side with the application that you build, start to include some of the power of that Skype interface. It's a very, very simple amount of HTML to kind of embed that directly into your UI. So this window here is actually hosted in a website inside Azure. And it's just using the Skype Web SDK to actually embed that side by side with all the customizations that you've done as well.
Cool. So that's actually great to see. That's part of the Skype Web SDK that got announced in preview last week. And with that, we've sort of talked a lot about experiences. I want to switch over to that other pillar and talk about data and capabilities that you can take advantage of from Office 365. And just like we had a great showing of momentum around people using and adopting the new add-in model, we have similar traction going against people calling Office 365 APIs. We actually launched the first round of these APIs last fall in Barcelona, where we talked about how people could get easy access to file, mail, calendar, and contacts through a well-designed set of RESTful endpoints. And what we want to talk about today is where we're taking that vision. And again, just like with add-ins, we want to show how this creates a roadmap for where we will be going into the future. And so we have a new preview API out. This is the unified API endpoint for Office 365 APIs. I'll show you in a bit why we talk about it as unified and what power that really brings to you as a developer. But on top of that, I want to talk about some of the other things that are coming out in preview. There are new APIs for the Video Portal, Groups, and the Office Graph, all as part of that. And again, this forms a roadmap of how we talk about where will OneNote API show up. I'm going to look at Gareth. Those are in preview for Office 365 sign-in. Awesome. And coming forward, we will also announce a Tasks API. But let's get under the hood and take a look at what some of those APIs look like. So what we've got here is a simple tool. This is the API Explorer. and it'll just be a little web tool that we'll use to take a look at some of the request response patterns that you can use to get access to O365 APIs. And the point of the unified API endpoint is shown right here. You go to graph.microsoft.com, insert a version number. In this case, it's beta because it's still in preview. And then just go directly to the tenant that you want to connect to. And then you can go ahead and pull information. So I'll just put a /users on the end. And it'll do what I expect, which is ask me to sign in because I let the window sit there too long. One moment. Type in users. It'll pull back a nice set of clean JSON that I can take a look at. And what the point of this is, let's actually take a look at this nice formatted view that collapses down what all the values are. This is actually going to page through all the users in my tenant, which might not be the most valuable thing. So what I can actually do is I can filter it down by department. So here I say filter department equals operations. And that's all that it takes for me to get back a set of users that actually map to that query. And the powerful thing here is, A, it was easy to construct, and B, the JSON is easy for you to use. Every developer in the room has a set of tools that they can use to make this easy for them to parse and take advantage of in their solution. But it truly is a graph. So let's go from, let's click here on, hold on. Let's click here on an individual user. And there you see that the user has a persistent ID that I can take advantage of and link directly to. And then if I want to get from that user to their files, all I have to do is type a /files on the end of the URL. We've actually transitioned behind the scenes from working against Active Directory to working against SharePoint and OneDrive for Business. But you, the developer, did not have to know or care, did not have to go get a separate OAuth token, didn't have to figure out a new way that the URLs were constructed, and didn't have to worry about what's going to come back, the same well-formatted JSON responses. Here it's going to show me just the files that I actually have permission to see inside of this user's OneDrive for Business. And because of the logged on user, it can automatically filter that list down. And that's a pretty common pattern that we see, actually, is this notion of the logged on user. So we've created a token to make that easy to get to. So here, it's just /me. That brings back my entry from Active Directory. But now let's say I wanted to switch from Active Directory over to getting data out of Exchange. I'll go ahead and pull calendar information from Exchange. And I'll do that in the simplest way that you would expect, which is I'll just put /events on the end of the URL. And now it's actually going in and pulling out calendar data for me. The same idea will work here. We'll go ahead and put in /messages. And that'll go and pull information from my inbox. And all of those new APIs that I talked about, if you're wondering what's the pattern that we're going to use, the roadmap for the future on how will that show up to make it easy for you to take advantage of, this is the roadmap of how those are all going to work. And hopefully this enables you to build a wide range of solutions, whether they live on a mobile client or whether they live in your service. We're not only building these APIs here in RESTful format, we're building the SDKs that make it easy for you to integrate directly with them, whether it's on iOS or Android or on a range of service providers.
Yeah, and one of the other things that we've done with the APIs, with the unified aspect, is that when we got lots of feedback that often in your add-ins or in your web applications, you wanted to be able to grab the photo of the user that's logged in. And there were some few auth hops you had to do in the past. So as an extension of what Rob was just showing, for instance, in this environment here, I've just got me and I've got, users' photos here. And what that's listed for me is a bunch of photos that I can go in and grab based on what I've uploaded via my Outlook OAuth experience when I update my profiles inside that Outlook experience. But as an endpoint here, I can also kind of grab it directly just using the OAuth one if I wanted to. So we've taken these endpoints and added them into that unified approach so that you can kind of jump across various different notions of files and messages and events directly from that one URL. Now, the nice thing here is if I go in through and click on one of these files here, maybe I want a high-resolution photo, HD, it'll give me more information. And then all I simply do to actually get that image, which then I can just simply use inside an image tag within inside here, and you've got that good-looking guy on the screen, is then be able to get that HD image. But if I go back Depending on the size that I want to do, if I did that properly, is if I go back to just user photos here, now my browser's crashed. Clearly that good-looking guy crashed my browser. When I go back here and just go to, no, it really did crash it. There you go. If I go back to user photos, you can see also that I can go through and grab smaller resolutions. So I can click through onto, say, the 48 by 48 here, slash, and then dollar value, and it will return me the low res one. So you don't have to do any of that image manipulation to use those profile images across your add-ins or the SaaS applications that you've got that access to from that URL perspective. So it's really neat to see those extensions being listened to. And that was something that actually came through the user voice site, that people voted up that they needed this within their add-ins, and the Exchange team went away and built this endpoint, and then we've added it to that unified API. So it's a great use of user voice. If you haven't used that before, when you go to dev.office.com on our homepage here, there's a user voice down the bottom here in the community section. And if you launch the user voice, what it will do is it will take you over to an area where you can see what things have been suggested, and you can actually vote up and down those different things that are, our engineers are looking at adding to their backlogs. This is a great way of giving feedback to our teams to allow us to kind of see what kind of things you want us to improve in our add-in ecosystem. Now, one other demo that we've been working with, which is something I've been using quite heavily, is if I go through and create a new mail here and I launch my apps for Office, and I'm just going to add something called Boomerang here, which is a vendor that's been building stuff inside the Exchange ecosystem for a long time. And what you'll notice is what happens on the right-hand side is it's going to launch this task pane. And so they've built some scenarios that they saw users wanting directly into this Outlook experience. How many times have you sent an email and the first thing you do is you flag it for follow-up, and then that way you go back into your inbox and see what things you flagged to see whether someone's actually replied on that thread? Well, what Boomerang are doing with the API is that if I go through and check that, I can change. Maybe I want to remind it in 4 days. And you can see here that it's doing a, if there is no reply or regardless, just poke me in 4 days. And what that does is it stores the conversation ID in their system, and then it uses the Exchange APIs to call back in and send email reminders back into that system to kind of prod that conversation hasn't had any responses from the people that you sent it to, which is really cool. And one of the other things that they've done, if I didn't click escape, is on the right-hand side, you'll notice another one that you might want to do, is there are availability that you can insert that's just native to Outlook, but they've done some extra things. So you can see here that they've got up the calendar, and what you can actually say is that, you know, I want to kind of suggest some time slots maybe for a 15-minute meeting, because I'm really efficient and I don't need an hour to sit there and get bored. And when I click insert here, what that's actually going to do is inject a few suggested time slots directly into my mail body that then everyone else can have a look at and maybe suggest, yeah, well, we can go and do this on at Tuesday at 2 p.m. So they've done some really nice things around kind of suggesting times or even sharing my availability as well. So I can say for the next 5 days, I can kind of pick the time zone support and pick the start ranges here and whether I want to include the weekends, which obviously I won't suggest that we have work meetings on a weekend. And that, again, will go through and show my availability really quickly in there. So, again, you can use the out-of-the-box experience for Outlook, but you can also go and grab these add-ins from our store, which will improve that experience even more. So there's some great vendors out that are building that productivity and enhancing the out-of-the-box experience with some neat ideas around that with Boomerang.
Yeah, and one of the things I really like about this Boomerang example is that it's bringing together this notion of calling the APIs from Exchange in the cloud with producing an add-in that enhances that experience. So maybe we could take a look at another sample that will bring it all together for us.
Yeah, so we've also been working on a sample inside of Azure, which is the property inspector example. And what you'll notice here, if I open up a few windows here, is that we released this at TechEd Europe in October of last year, which included the files API, included the mail, calendar, and contacts API, which we launched, and we shipped this as a sample. So when you go over to dev.office.com and you go over to the resources tab and code samples, you'll actually be able to go and find this sample directly on that page. So you can see here that we've got a bunch of samples in here. And if I just cheat quickly and just find the property inspector sample, we actually store all this sample inside of GitHub. So if I jump over directly to GitHub, all of the instructions for the sample are all here, so you can get it all running. We did a talk about this, and we did a talk actually last week at Build with Todd Baginski and Doreen Brown, kind of walked through this scenario in a lot of depth. But what you'll notice if you go into GitHub is, as well as the bit I'm going to demo now, which is that my app here, is we've actually built Android, native iOS, Xamarin, and Cordova apps that connect into this scenario. So we've built the app in every single platform so that you can dig in and see how we're using those APIs inside this property manager sample. So you can go and grab that sample now. Now, the scenario here from a property inspector is that we manage properties, and we have a bunch of repairs that obviously go on as the wear and tear of people in there have parties and they trash the place and maybe the taps break. And what we've added based on the new unified APIs coming on board is this notion that every single property is a group. So when I jump in here to the groups, when we create this notion of a group has files, it has a calendar, it has the notion of tasks, it has the notion of members. So I can see here on the left-hand side that it's created for each property within the Property Inspector demo that I've spun up, a group. And I can jump into these groups and not only see the conversations that are happening around this group, I can see the members, I can maybe suggest to add new members here, I can upload files around those properties, and also what's really neat is, if I jump back into the demo here, is I can add videos. So you can see here that this scenario where maybe I've used the video app to go and film the leaky tap, and upload that into the video portal. Now again, that's taking use of all that Azure Media Services goodness to stream that video live in an HTML player directly within my web browser. So again, think about all those building blocks that we have within inside Office 365 that you can leverage within your own web applications, just as long as you get them to sign in with Office 365, you have access to all of those products. You'll also see down the bottom here that we also have the ability to go away and leverage that new OneNote API here to then go and create OneNote. So maybe if we've taken a bunch of photos of a particular property and I want to grab my Surface or a tablet with a pen and annotate on top of those photos, we have the ability to kind of scrape all the data that's being stored inside SharePoint lists and libraries and go and create that OneNote page on the fly. And maybe my repair guy who opens up that OneNote notebook that's stored within that group then can go and view those notes and actually go and scribble on those things and then obviously link to them from this interface. So this is just another example of how you don't have to think about just SharePoint on its own and files. You can think about the messaging that's going on in the group and the files in the group and the videos in the group and those conversations that are happening around that group. Now, what I will demo quickly, if I jump over to the iPad again, is I'll just highlight one of those apps. So we have this repair app here. And what that's going to do is that's going to sign me in to Azure AD, to that group that's stored within Office 365, and it will show my property. And so I'm going to go through here, and we've been doing a little bit of testing here. But again, as a repair guy, I might not have a laptop when I'm on the road. So I have the ability here to actually go through, and I'm going to go and document that I've actually taken the notes around that repair, and I'm going to go and take a photo of this wonderful audience and actually use this photo to say maybe I fixed that tap. And then I'm going to submit some comments and say, like, fix the tap, like that. And then when I click done, that's going to go away and store that inside of that group. So it'll upload the file into the files container within that group that we created for the property. And it will store all of the comments in the SharePoint list data map related to that in the site collection for this property as well. So again, it's a great example of using those Office 365 APIs with the SDKs that we ship for Android and for iOS that allow you as a native iOS developer or Android developer to go away and build these things. But as I say, we also have this for Xamarin and for Cordova. So Xamarin, if you're a C-sharp XAML guy, or for Cordova, if you're an HTML JavaScript guy, you can write it once and target all those platforms. So we've shared all of that code with you guys. You can go and grab that right now, and that'll give you a good indication of where we're going. And we'll keep, as we add new APIs, we'll keep going back to this hero demo and adding those additional scenarios to that property inspector. Awesome. But we have one other really cool app that we've got to show as well.
Yeah.
So I just need to unlock my phone.
This is just another one of these samples that we've made available for you. Again, open sourced on GitHub. We invite you to go and take a look. And this is just let's target directly Exchange and Mail APIs. And we just want to show you what a slick experience you can actually put together. This is built in Objective-C. And the scenario that we imagined, I could imagine where this would all be built into Outlook, but the scenario here is I don't want to use Outlook because I'm on vacation. And I only want some emails to show up, just the ones that I'm most worried about. And so what I can actually do is filter down. First, I can navigate and keep track of things. I can click this follow button, and this will make it easy for me to follow the sender or follow the conversation. And those are the only mails that will show up inside of this UI. And everything else is filtered out of my view. It also makes it easy. OK, I'm going to reply. I'll get back to you shortly. So it has these built-in, out-of-the-box, easy-to-use, snappy responses, and then a nice set of settings where I can control, if I read it here, did that impact Outlook? Do I want to see all the urgent messages, regardless of who they're from? OK, here are the people that I care about. We see Jeremy allows mails from me at any time, even when he's on vacation. And again, come on, man.
No, it's not happening.
This is, again, we put it up on GitHub. It's an open source sample. The goal here is just to show you the full richness of the things that are possible using those APIs that we've made available for Office 365. All right, so that's a great conversation about data and APIs and all of the things that we are enabling you to do. Before we transition into getting started, I wanted to make one more point about this. Hopefully, two contexts have come clear. We've talked about users, we've talked about data, but there's a philosophy underlying that. It's open. We desperately want to make sure that it is easy for you as developers to come to this technology using tools and techniques that are familiar, that it's easy and approachable, and that you can deliver solutions that are easy to light up everywhere that you want to make sure that your users see your material. And so with that.
Yeah, I just want to jump back and just show you the OneNote thing, because we've done a lot of work on that, and I just wanted to make sure that you guys kind of see that scenario. Essentially, what happens is when it creates those properties, you would notice here that it's created the incidents that the repair guy can go and get. And obviously, I'm using this in the web browser within OneNote. And what it does is it goes through and it scrapes all of the information directly into that OneNote. You can see those pictures there that we uploaded into SharePoint. And you can see there that the benefit of actually exporting these things into OneNote is you'll notice that there's been some scribbles there where something you couldn't have done within the web browser interface is annotate over the top of those images. So again, it's a really additional benefit of kind of leveraging that OneNote platform and the APIs we have available to take the context and all that data that was being stored inside the property inspector, inside the SharePoint and the video portal, and export those into a page that then can be annotated by that repair guy. So again, that sample that's in GitHub shows you how you can do that export. And we actually had that in the do.com demo as well, where do.com already worked, we exported to Evernote. Now we actually have that support in the prototype where we export through to OneNote as well. So there's some really cool things happening in that space where we'll take these hero dummies and just continue to extend out those abilities as we add those different API surfaces. So what do we do to get started here? Well, there's one thing that you'll hear me ram on around, and you'll see the hoodies that we were kind of handing out at Build, which unfortunately we have actually sold out of. But we do have some t-shirts to give away to make up for the fact we don't have any more hoodies left. Is dev.office.com. It's the one-stop shop for you guys as developers that want to build on top of this Office platform, whether it's in the commercial space with Office 365, or whether it's in the consumer space with Outlook.com and OneNote.com, or in both. Because now with our unified endpoints, they work across those scenarios with the one authentication flow, which is really, really cool. Now, in addition to dev.office.com, if you go to that homepage now, what you'll actually see is that there is this new developer program that we set up, which we launched last week at Build. Now, this program is really good for you as developers. One of the things we heard loud and clear was we couldn't keep up. We didn't know how you guys were communicating with us with these updates. Now, naturally, every 6 months, we're going to kind of whip these engineering guys into shape and make sure they're shipping new things. And we'll use Build, we'll use TechEd Europe's like we did last year to announce in one big bulk, here are all the updates. But these guys are good. They're fast. They're shipping stuff in more than just six-month intervals. So we're going to use those email newsletters to communicate with you those updates to the APIs, the new services that we make available inside the Office clients. when we start shipping things on the iPad or when we start shipping add-ins inside the Android versions of Office. We'll do that communication via those email newsletters, as well as on dev.office.com and blogs.office.com, but we heard loud and clear that you guys loved that email communication coming through. Now, in addition to the emails, we'll also give you 1 year free developer tenant subscription so you can go away and get plugged into this. If you go and sign up right now, you'll receive an email almost immediately with your credentials to go and get in and jump in and use that experience. And then you can use things like Napper in your web browser to go and try and build these Office add-ins. If you go to our booth in the expo hall, we have hands-on labs there that you can quickly put together in 5 minutes. Demos that show how to build those Office add-ins directly inside your browser. So it's a really exciting time. We really encourage you guys to go and sign up for that developer program. In addition to that, we also have a bunch of free training that's available on dev.office.com. We have about 80 hours of videos and hands-on labs that you can do for various different Office add-ins that you build, the SharePoint add-ins, or if you want to go and build an Android app that communicates to our APIs. We have a bunch of goodness there on the training side of things. But there's more. We're also going to give away a series of benefits to you guys as being part of that program. And the two examples that we've launched with benefits-wise as we've launched this program is a drip subscription. So if you're an ISV and you want to be able to communicate with your users, maybe you've seen that they've signed up, but they've never come and jumped back into your product again, you can actually build rules into drip.com that says, well, if they don't kind of come back to my service within 5 days, I'm going to send them a reminder to them on how amazing my product is and maybe suggest a particular thing they could do with my product. So we're going to give you that for free for a year on the Basics Hub. What we're also going to give you is Telerik Kendo UI controls, the HTML JavaScript controls, 1 year free as well. So we heard loud and clear that you guys want to accelerate your development when it comes to building add-ins, both on Office and on and in SharePoint or everywhere else. We'll expand over time. And so we're giving you the Kendo UI through a year so that you can actually go and use their controls to build like very easy date pickers and calendar pickers and file pickers directly from that experience. So we've given those things away for free too. And then lastly, what we're also giving away and we'll be doing and communicating with you guys is a series of webinars. So I'll be grabbing Rob for a webinar, I'll be grabbing Rob Howard for a webinar, I'll be grabbing Gareth Jones for a webinar, and we'll get those engineers to talk about the things that they're doing in the APIs or inside of OneNote so that we can keep you guys informed on some of those new announcements on a more regular interval rather than just these large conferences. So we've taken a lot of the feedback through that Yammer group, the Office 365 Technical Network group, and we've started to build this program out. So if you don't sign up, please, please go to our booth, speak to them, they'll show you how to do it. It's very, very simple. But I highly recommend you do it, even if it's just for the free tenant and those licenses we're giving you away. But there's a lot of extra value in there in terms of those webinars and so forth. Now, Rob, do you want to talk about all of the announcements we've done and just kind of clarify preview and release state?
Yeah. There's one thing I'd like to make sure that everyone walks away with a clear sense of, which is that you can start doing stuff today. In the demos and in throughout the week, we're very excited about everything that's coming and what is available. So we're going to show as much capability as we possibly can just to be open and transparent about where we're going. But I also want to make clean about where we are immediately and what you can do. First, Office 365 APIs are already in production. You can use them. Second, you can build add-ins in Win32 already, and you can make sure that that all works. That is the same model going forward. And so we are releasing a whole bunch of capability that's shown here, making sure they work across the online applications. I'm not going to read through all the details, because you can take photos of this and the slides are available. But these are the things that you can go do immediately that are in the release column. And then in our talk today and in talks throughout the week, there's a great amount of preview material that is available, such as that unified API endpoint, such as our drive towards making sure that we have convergence across consumer and commercial. And those are the things that we want you to get excited about. We'll blog when they go into final release. We'll blog when we put new things into preview. Many of those, the right thing to do to get ready is to play with the preview, but also to build the real thing that we've got today using the add-ins and the APIs that are already available. So, last chance for camera photos of that. Let's talk about call to action.
So, as I've mentioned already, what we would suggest based on this whole week, if there's a few things that you actually do, is go to our booth, go grab the stickers, go sit down and do those hands-on labs. We have some great express talks, which are short talks that are available in the expo hall where you can go and see what's been going on in a much more nugget kind of grab in 15 minutes. And obviously, we really love it if you guys all sign up for the developer program this week to get all those benefits. Now, we have some great sessions this week, and I can't list all of our sessions on here, but me and Rob sat down and we kind of picked our favorite ones based on the context and how excited we are about certain things. I'm not going to go through all of these, but what I will say is if you've never seen Rob Howell present on the APIs, you are missing out. This guy's fiddler skills are off the charts. He will put everybody to shame. I would highly recommend going and seeing that to understand exactly how our authentication model hangs together and what a JWT token is and all of the different things going on in the service when you do that authentication hop. It's really important. When I jumped into this space, into the understanding the APIs, it took me a long time to get hold of understanding the OAuth dance that goes on before I could get to calling the API. Rob makes it look easy. So if you haven't seen that, I'd highly recommend going to that talk. Ina Arenas is going to do a great talk on the unified endpoint, basically taking all the good demos that Rob did today with the Graph Explorer and going into a lot more detail on those things. And then, as I mentioned before in the session, Vesa is going to be doing a great talk on the patterns and practices work that's been going on to highlight, if you're a full trust co-developer with SharePoint, how you would start to use the SharePoint add-ins model to go and build your extensions with inside SharePoint. And there's a bunch of other ones there. We've seen that Outlook is the most popular kind of add-in perspective, both from consumer and from commercial. And Andrew's going to do a great job there of demoing how you can build those Outlook add-ins, like I showed briefly in the demo here, using Napa and those new adding commands and a bunch of other goodness that we just didn't have time to show in this session here. Now, there are a bunch of places you can reach us. If you aren't following us on Twitter or at Office Dev, I'd highly recommend kind of following that handle. We have our handles as well, which are at the beginning of the deck, and if you go to dev.office.com, you can see the other handles in the team that you can follow as well. If you're not part of our Yammer network, the Office 365 network, there are a bunch of great Yammer groups which are publicly available for you to join where we can communicate with you guys. A lot of developers are reaching out and asking questions, and I'm fortunate that I know on the inside who to go and ask. And now I just at mention them and bring them into that conversation. And the engineers have been doing a really good job of engaging in the last year with those conversations and unblocking a lot of you guys when you get into trouble. It helps us to understand maybe we need to improve the documentation or handle labs or those training videos. So I'd highly encourage you guys to jump on that network. I've already shown you guys user voice. We do really listen. We sit in triage meetings where we go through all those suggestions that you come up with and we look at how many votes you're putting through on particular endpoints, and there's a bunch of stuff we shipped that have been directly related to those user voice feedback that we've had from you guys in the community, and we really want you to keep that coming because we all sit in caves back in Redmond and we think we know what we want to be building, but it's always useful to hear what you guys want as well. So we're going to use that user voice channel to get that information back to our engineering teams in Redmond. And if you're not sick of my voice and you think my accent rocks, I do a weekly podcast where I run around with a microphone and poke it in people's faces and grill them on the bits that they've been building. We did a great show last week that was published on Thursday where we talked about all of the announcements around Build and the Office 365 experience. I'm going to grab a bunch of the guys later on today that they don't know about and call them in a room and interview those guys as well. So the podcast is available on that link, but you can go and grab it from the iTunes store or the Android store or the Windows store as well. So that's how we want you guys to reach back out. But please make the value of coming to these sessions in the office track, specifically around development, to speak to the engineers that own these things. We've got them all down here from Redmond to present to you guys what you can do with those features that they're releasing. Make advantage of talking to them in person. Come go and speak to us in the expo hall and come to those tech talks, because that's the way you get value out of this conference. Because remember, these are all recorded. The benefit of being here is that interaction you have with us on stage. So again, thank you very much. We will want you to fill out the eval, so jump over to the website. We want to hear your feedback on whether you think these kickoff sessions are useful to kind of get that grab bag, a demo palooza as we call it, of different things that we do and what we're announcing this week. With that, thank you very much, Rob, for sharing the stage with you again.
Thank you, Jeremy. We have a couple minutes for questions if folks have them, and a couple of t-shirts left. Thank you very much for your time.
There are microphones in the halls here if you do have any questions, but as you say, we'll be in the expo hall and a bunch of us will be in sessions for the rest of the week if you do have specific questions you want answering.
If you could grab the mic right behind you. What about the Skype for Business API? There will actually be a great session going into detail on that at 3 in this room. I'm sorry, I actually couldn't follow that. Maybe you could grab the mic that's right behind you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
My question is about the WIC. Our office online client, much partner want to use that function to leverage the such as Word Online to edit documents. My question is, how about the partner to leverage our WIC, use our API or some other things?
Okay. So the question is about what's the plan for extensibility in WAC. And a bunch of that we talked about today in the form of add-ins. Those are available. The other question that I tend to hear is about cloud storage providers associated with WAC, so you could open documents from other locations. We don't have any news about that today. We did have a bunch of announcements and blog posts back in February, and right now we're just working on executing on that plan, which is making Office Online and Office in all its forms talk to as many storage locations as possible. Thank you.
Is this on? Great. Great overview, by the way. I think you should keep these in future conferences.
Thank you.
I just finished signing up for the newsletter.
Awesome.
And there was a problem I was trying to solve for a client last year. Their old workflow was very Excel based, and they hired me to build a SharePoint workflow solution. However, we fought this losing battle that had to do with the UI expectation. Was a very Excel UI. They had created these forms in Excel lots of little things that looked up to external websites and then computed other fields. And this strikes me as, well, heck, maybe we could have stayed in Excel and created an add-in. Could we create an add-in on the side of Excel that somehow drives the workflow aspect, because they had no, their workflow was they printed out the Excel in hard copy and went around.
Yeah, so we wanted to maybe automate that. The scenario is about how would I make workflow work with Excel add-ins.
Right.
And I love that scenario. If you want to follow up and talk with us more, we'd love to drill into details. The high level is that from that task pane, you can talk to services that you need to reach to. So if it's call and move workflows, you can do that. The other kind of add-in that might be useful for that scenario, we actually didn't demo any of them today, but there's a content add-in that sits and lives as part of the spreadsheet, and just similar to the Outlook contextual add-ins that just look like part of the mail message, this just looks like part of the spreadsheet, and so they might not even know that they've hopped out to an external service. That'd be a great scenario for us to work through.
So I'll come down to the...
Great, thanks. Sure.
With the SAP task approval inside the email, can that be like a SharePoint workflow tasks within LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Is it available in Office sample codes or something like
that? That is not yet available. At this point, it's prototype that we've been working on with the SAP folks. We are still working out the right way to distribute that and make it available. But again, in what we were trying to show here today is that I can connect to line of business systems. SAP is a great example of that. Obviously, once you have those capabilities, then you can make it work against a wide variety of services, including, of course, SharePoint.
So just to be clear, those SAP workflows, that add-in is specific to SAP. So if you got an email from a SharePoint workflow with a SharePoint ID in it and you wanted an add-in to show, right now that would be something you would build. And it would be very simple. You'd have an HTML page that read from the Office.js, the context of the workflow ID, then called the SharePoint workflow using CSOM with the authentication token to get the rest of the information about that workflow and display it in that add-in. And then you could have a button maybe that said the approve or reject that would call the workflow API to then do that approve or reject as well. But that's something right now you'd have to build yourself. Yeah. So the main scenario was SAP wanted to build this prototype, which will eventually end up in the store to make SAP users' lives more useful. But it definitely could be done for SharePoint too.
All right, let's do one last question. And then, as Jeremy says, we'll be available in sessions in the booth all week long. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about migration We have add-ins like COM add-ins, VB6 add-ins, and more recently Visto add-ins. So trying to take that to, you know, JavaScript, Office 365 add-ins. You have any type of conversion to kind of help us get started, you know, in between that, you know, C-sharp code to JavaScript?
Yeah, so the question was really around, okay, I'm a VBA, VSTO, COM add-in developer right now on maybe on Office Desktop 2010 or 2007. How do I take all that goodness and move it over to Office add-ins so that they work across all the platforms and, you know, take advantage of all those things? The app commands is one example of something that if you're a VSTO add-in guy, you wouldn't have been able to do that with this Office add-ins model, which you can do now. The same thing that we've been doing with patterns and practices with SharePoint, where we went full trust code to SharePoint add-ins and how we do the same thing in a different pattern, we're going to be doing exactly the same thing for the Office developers as well. So we'll have samples that show you how you would do something in VSTO, but how you would do that with that Office add-in model using JavaScript. And our engineering teams are still aware that there are some service layers that aren't available to you in the new Office add-in model that were available in VSTO, and we're working through those things and adding those things into those interfaces as well. So the patterns and practices is going to be the way to do those things. In terms of like a conversion tool, that's not something that we can really do because there's so many different ways that you can kind of build those things. One thing we have seen ISVs and enterprise developers doing is starting to leverage COM add-ins with an HTML window inside it and doing a lot of the code in the web HTML JavaScript way so that it's easy to move those things over to an Office add-in that is obviously natively HTML and JavaScript. And there's a bunch of developers out there that have been kind of writing around this practice already. If you are interested, I can definitely send you those things if you come over to the booth.
All right. We're out of time. Thank you very much. If you have any more questions, come on up or, again, find us at the booth. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.